Welcome, Garrett Marrero, to Samsara Happy Hour.
Thanks for having me.
You're the founder and owner of Maui Brewing Company, so it's such a pleasure to be here on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, thanks. Christmas on Maui is always great. I'm surprised she got some rain today. Normally it's Christmas on the beach, but we need our rain too.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And I don't know if it's an overused phrase, but sometimes I've used the phrase Maui Christmas.
Yeah.
So it's a Maui Christmas, yeah, at least for us and our crew being here.
Yeah, I have a lot of family in the mainland, and when we talk to them on Christmas, usually my wife and I are at the beach, you know, with our feet in the water, and
yeah,
we're drinking beers, and my family's, you know, freezing in the frigid Southern California winters, of course, you know, 65 degrees or so. But my wife has family in Maine, so they really love coming out here to escape the cold.
Great. Well, that's what we've done. This is our third time here at around the Christmas time for out of the last 4 years.
Yeah.
And coming from Western Canada,
it's just a good record.
Yeah, it's a pretty good record, and it's so nice out here. And so this time we're checking out your new facility, Maui Brewing Company facility here in Kihei.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's 22,000 square foot
Footage of brewing space.
Brewing space.
Total 42,000 square feet with the pub, the tasting room, offices, and brewing.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's quite a bit of space.
A few years in the making.
Yeah, we started planning in 2009 that we knew we were going to be running out of space very quickly, and by 2011 that had happened. So we kind of ramped up the plans in order to find the land, and which we came up here to the Research and Technology Park here in Kihei. So it's not really a well-known area of Kihei. It's just off the main road, as you know. But you know, unless you have a reason to come up here before, there was not a lot. There were a lot of offices, or more. Air Force offices, Boeing has offices up here, but we're the first really retail establishment up here, and we're bringing a lot of traffic up. So
it's a beautiful space and beautiful location. Like, we are not staying far. We're down by Cam 1. We're across from Cam 1, and we've been enjoying Hawaiian Moons and Maui Taco and all those areas, and just chilling out that South Kihei fold. This is a great location.
Thank you.
Love the location.
Yeah, and today's officially the grand opening of the tasting room. So
you're
here on a great day. You know, yesterday did soft opening, and Monday and Tuesday soft, but today being the first official day open to the public is pretty exciting. So
such a pleasure to be here. I'll give you a cheers on that note.
Thank
I'm drinking Big Swell IPA.
Oh, cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah. I've got the Kihei Kolsch.
Which
was brewed as an inaugural beer here in Kihei to kind of celebrate our coming to Kihei.
Beautiful. I'm going with my go-to a little bit here with the Big Swell IPA. I've really enjoyed that. I've been sampling all the four cans that you currently offer, and that's a question I have, is maybe where we're going, where you're going outside of the four cans that you've offered so far. So
sure.
I've been enjoying the Bikini Blonde Lager, the Man of Wheat, made with Maui Gold Pineapple. Really like that one on the beach.
That one's a special one,
Big Swell IPA, and of course the Coconut Porter.
Yeah.
Do you have a beer in mind, or have you announced what you might be canning?
Yeah, Lahaina Town Brown was just done. That one we just completed. We had it for the season last spring, but we went ahead and extended it through just last month, actually, because we had too much to plan. The cans really take a lot to really get off the ground. So with everything we had going on here, planning for Kihei, it was too much to really plan a new one. But about 2 months ago, we started planning the one that's coming out, and it comes out in January. It's called Lorenzini Double IPA. It's actually a Blood Orange Double IPA. So
nice. It's
a full 7.6% ABV Double IPA, you know, nice high IBU, big aroma hop, but done with blood orange juice and some local citrus puree. So really, really nice beer. And a portion of the proceeds from the cans will go to support the University of Hawaii Shark Lab. So for, you know, kind of shark research here locally, you know, showing sharks in the positive image and in how they impact our ecology. And not so much in the way Hollywood likes to portray them in the very man-eater type fashion.
Yeah.
So we've got some good friends at the Shark Lab coming over on the 30th, actually, to can that beer. And it goes live middle of January.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to that. I did some research, and apparently I can get it shipped up to Canada online if I order online, so that's great.
I've heard it's expensive to do, but but you know, I would argue it's worth it.
Yeah,
but,
there you go. Know. Yeah, maybe I'll have some, I don't want to say withdrawal, but
yeah.
We some are, cravings.
We are working on expanding our distribution. You know, I think, you know, if you look at any of the mainland viewers, especially, if they've seen our beer in the stores, they've seen less of it in the past year than ever before, because in order to keep up with our demand locally, we had to pull back a lot of supply from the mainland.
Makes sense.
Because, as you know, we brew 100% of our product here on Maui, and it's important for us to always be authentic that way. But we also want to take care of our home market first. So when we're out of stock here, but we're in stock in Texas, I love Texas, but I got to take care of home first. And we were up almost 40% last year in the state of Hawaii, which is a huge volume already for us.
Wow.
So to pull back all of that from the mainland caused a lot of out of stocks everywhere else. But we're starting to look to Canada. We're there on a very limited basis right now, mainly on the west coast of Canada.
And
I think we've sent so far maybe 5 or 8 pallets, but we're looking, which is about 500 to 800 cases of beer. But we're looking to really grow our international market.
Okay. Yeah. We'll see what we can do to promote it in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Ask around in Vancouver, you know, on
sure.
the west coast there.
We have so many visitors like yourself who come to visit Hawaii. It's not, you know, obviously you travel the world throughout, but, you know, Maui has that special, you know, je ne sais quoi, if you will, right?
Sure, that's great.
You know, it's something draws people to Maui, I think, over a lot of other places. And I think we have such an array of visitors from all over the world that we want to really give them a piece of Maui when they go back home as well. Mm-hmm. You know, especially when you come here, you form a bond with the island. It's not just a place to go, but you know what I'm talking about. You've been here being 3 out of the last 4 Christmases. You know what I'm talking about.
It's a great way to put it, you know, between hiking and the 88 beaches or so to choose from. And, of course, the Maui Brewing Company beer to drink on the beaches,
sure.
you know, the whole mix of everything here. It's a very practical place to get around and kind of try some different things. Like, there's just a whole nice, great mix, and the people are great. And I wanted to kind of talk about, like, the local aspects of the brew. Are you still canning completely on Oahu? Are you going to be doing canning now here?
Oh.
But my understanding is, like, most of the ingredients are from Maui, or at least the most that you can source out from local agriculture and these kind of things.
Sure. Yeah. Agriculturally, yes. So, you know, just to clarify, everything's always been canned here on Maui. So the cans, the bodies, so I think there's some articles that, the cans are made on Oahu. The can themselves, the physical body of the can, is made over on Oahu.
I see.
There's a ball canning plant over there, and so they make the body for us and the end, the top. What we would, you know, layman's terms would be the lid, which we still call it that sometimes.
Sure.
And then they send them to us here, and we fill them and seam them here at our facility. And same as when we were in Lahaina. So, again, buying the cans locally is buying them from Oahu, but then filling them and seaming them here, just to be completely transparent.
Great. Yeah.
We've always made a commitment that all of our beer would always be produced in the state of Hawaii. And right now that is all on Maui. You know, we may open other facilities, other brew pubs, and brew on the neighbor islands, but our commitment has always been to be authentic Hawaiian craft beer. And, you know, it started in 2005 was our first year in business, and our goal was to create what we called handcrafted ales and lagers brewed with aloha. Which was
the
spirit of which we brew,
and
making a wide variety of handcrafted both ales and lagers. And the reason for is that formerly the largest craft brewery in Hawaii was not brewing any of their packages here, and still not.
That's my understanding. And so, from the mainland,
exactly, all from the mainland. So for us, we saw an opportunity to create the best possible beer, world class beer, but do it authentic to Hawaii.
We're into anything that's conscious, and you guys are so conscious from the environmental perspective to how you're getting involved with the community, all these aspects, local ingredients. Like, it's a no-brainer for me. And even your plastic tops that I come to understand there's different reasons for. One is to keep the tops of cans clean, which I love.
Absolutely.
That's great, you know, because I'm usually rinsing. I still have, this is the first time I've actually used these top plastic caps over top of the six-packs.
Sure.
But I'm still out of habit rinsing off the top. Because I've understood that
they get kind of... old high cone rings, you know, that a lot of people use.
And apparently they can get quite dirty from the production line or everywhere.
Or transport. Just dust gathering, things like that. Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm still, like, ripping it out of there. But you know, you don't really have to in these. And I think I heard there was 96% recyclable.
Yep.
And then also from the when you talked about sharks earlier, but maybe it's more along lines of dolphins or other fish, but it
turtles,
protects
everything, yeah.
Turtles, yeah. yeah. So
it, they
if
get
it
caught
does...
up in the other types of rings. And those do, over time, break down and become brittle and... and they disintegrate. But it takes quite a while. Now, ours obviously wouldn't break down and get brittle, and but at the same time, they're also physical enough that it's tangible enough, I think, that you're putting it into recycling as opposed to throwing it in the trash.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not something you just let blow away either.
It's so great.
But
and
it's an important
I would
thing.
Almost think that they'd probably be more expensive than the
usual,
because otherwise everyone would maybe be
Yeah, I want to say they're 13 or 14 times the price of the other ones. They're not cheap, but
it shows your commitment.
Exactly. It's doing things for the right reasons, and I think our company's been successful because that's been our guiding principle from day one, is, you know, not profiteering off the Hawaiian name, but actually contributing directly to the community in the form of jobs. I mean, we started, we had 20 employees in 2005. We just did a count this morning for the Christmas shirts I was telling you about.
Awesome.
Where now we have 84 employees, 20 of which have been added in the last 3 months. So we have another 80 coming online by next fall with the new brew pub and more job employment here on the Kihei
That's
site.
Huge.
So you're talking about a company that's grown from, like I said, 23 employees in 05 to, by end of 2015, 160 employees.
Yeah.
And that means wages, taxes, we do 401k matching, you know, benefits for every full-time employee. So, I mean, you're talking about a significant investment in not only the community tangibly from a building standpoint, but also from a job base.
Oh, that's excellent.
And in an area that Hawaii has consistently struggled in, which is manufacturing.
Okay.
We've largely been a service industry state, so when times are good and travel's good, we're good. But when those things suffer, then Hawaii suffers. And if we can manufacture and export products, I think we could be a much stronger state economically.
Here we are at this facility. I understand it to be Hawaii's now largest craft brewery.
Yep. Yeah, for a few years now, yeah.
Oh, and, yeah. And was that the case with the Lahaina location itself, or was it just come into being now with this site?
Yeah, you know, it's funny.
Or is it a little bit of a competition of what?
You know, I've always wanted to be the best. I've never wanted to be the biggest. And I think biggest, if you shoot to be the biggest, you can make sacrifices that
sure.
make you bigger.
There's that whole argument. What
but then you're not that great.
Then,
exactly.
What, yeah.
So for us, it's always been about what we do, not how much we do. And, you know, we do, though, jab a little bit, and we say Hawaii's largest craft brewery because we are. One, we're authentic craft beer, yeah. by definition, Brewers Association. You know, small, independent, and traditional. But we also are the largest in terms of production in the state. So we brew more beer than any other brewery in the state of Hawaii, and that's been the case for 2, maybe 3 years now.
Wow. Okay.
Last year, so 2014, still this year, I guess, we brewed about 20, 22,000 barrels in the state of Hawaii. And the next closest to us, I want to say, because I'm not intimate with that business, was around 12, maybe 13,000 barrels. I may be even overestimating.
Right.
So by almost double, we are one of the largest, or the largest. Now, if you look at in terms of worldwide sales, we are not Hawaii's largest.
Okay.
But if you're counting beer brewed in Tennessee, Washington, New Hampshire,
Portland,
Oregon,
sure.
all over the world, does that really count as Hawaii's largest craft? I don't think so. So,
you
know, we feel it's we feel we're Hawaii's largest craft brewery.
Yeah.
Well, and you had asked about agriculture earlier, too, and that's obviously a very important part of our business. Our commitment has always been to the local farmers and to the community in terms of not only supporting labor and manufacturing and diversifying the job base, but also in terms of what we use in the beer. And I just want to be clear, too, that we don't have amber waves of grain up Haleakala. We don't have hop fields on the volcano here. We have to bring those in, much like any other brewery all around the world. You know, and there's been criticism, oh, you're bringing over all these ingredients just to make beer and then ship some out and sell some here. But for every one container of goods that we bring in, malted barley and hops, we can create almost 5 containers worth of beer that goes out. And for us right now, we're about 80% sold in the state of Hawaii. So from a carbon footprint standpoint, we're still very, very green.
That's very interesting. Yeah.
So it's important to consider that because the largest component of beer is water. And, you know, I would argue when you're shipping beer made elsewhere into Hawaii, it's actually less green than just shipping the ingredients over. Because you had to ship 5 containers. I only have to ship 1, and I make those 5 for Hawaii.
Right.
So in using our percentage of sales, 4 of those containers stay here in state. Yeah. The other 1 leaves the state.
And also on the note we talked about earlier, making Hawaii the priority of your distribution first. Mm-hmm. For those maybe eco reasons as well.
Absolutely.
Versus, you know, of course you want to expand.
Yeah.
But if you have to for the sake of what you're producing, then that's great.
Yeah, and you know, it's a great point. You know, we always want to grow. We want to expand. And for our company, I think we're starting to morph more into a craft beverage company than just a craft brewery.
Yes,
and
right.
I'll highlight what I mean by that in just a second. But the reason for it is that as much as we're a craft brewery at our heart always, we realize that our principles, our ethics, our founding principles, if you will, are always going to keep us a little bit smaller, arguably. Because it does not make sense maybe to be a, I'm a huge fan of Sierra Nevada, but for us to be a 800 to 1 million barrel a year brewery, the economics don't exist to do it here in Hawaii. The shipping of all of those materials don't make sense to do it in Hawaii. And this is very much why Sierra Nevada has even opened up their East Coast facility, because they have so much beer going out. Does it make sense to truck it all over as opposed to brew it closer to their market? So it's going to keep us smaller, but we're okay with that. Small,
well,
relative to what, though? You know, small relative to 300 barrels in 05 or 60,000 barrels in 2016.
I wanted to ask, on December 9th, you did a ribbon cutting and blessing of this location to open it up on the island. And I'm just curious, you know, from I guess, a spiritual point of view, you know, how important that is to move forward with this facility on an island that obviously was inhabited with spiritual and just peoples before us, basically.
Yeah,
you know?
I think it's extremely important. I don't think we've never opened anything without a blessing, and I think it's just culturally it's the way to do things properly. It's paying respect to the island, of course, and to the land and the people, but specifically, I think the land. We've built on land that was pulled from the sea, essentially from the demigod Maui, and so to pay homage to that iconic demigod, if you will, as well as to pay respects to the culture here, it's important to bless the facility. And when people ask us, is it absolutely necessary? I think, does it make a difference? I would argue yes, because I don't want to take the risk that it's not the right way to do it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's something, untying instead of, it was a ribbon cutting, but physically it was actually an untying of the mailele, which is how it's done here on Maui. And so we had the lay out here until just a couple days ago, and it's supposed to stay out for a minimum of 4 days, and then it starts to break down and stuff, so you end up removing it afterwards. But I still have my lay on my door upstairs.
Oh, excellent.
Just until it literally falls off, it'll just be there. And I think that's something that shows how special Hawaii is that type of thing is important. It reminds me, one of the reasons I wanted to move here is, I was on vacation and struggling with my cooler that nobody was helping me carry. I had a bunch of friends out on the beach, and they had all gone out on the boards already, and just a local guy came over and helped me pick up the cooler and walk it to my site, and then he's like, hey, we're having a party over here, you want some poke, you want this? And it was like, it didn't matter, who you are, or it doesn't matter so much what you do, it matters how you treat others and how your spirit interacts with everybody else, and that's something that, it wasn't doctors hanging with doctors, blue collar, it's just, hey, we're all out here enjoying the land, enjoying the water, and it's all about how you respect others, and I think that's that carries true with in the entire state.
Going back to what you were saying about helping your cooler being lifted, mm-hmm. it made me realize with your cans, part of the idea, one of the reasons with your micro canning revolution is to be lighter. The cans are lighter, and my understanding is they also prevent from any light damage because it's totally in darkness in the can, reduces oxidation.
Yep.
And this is a really interesting thing because bottles seem to be more prevalent in at least craft beer industry so far.
Sure,
but there's
and they still are, and I think you know, there may be a period of time that they will be for, you know, the foreseeable future. Bottles will still dominate in terms of the package of choice for the, especially the larger breweries. But if you look at the velocity of new breweries opening and the fact that they're choosing to can versus bottle, for example, back in 2007 when we first started canning, we were the 11th craft brewery to put beer in cans. Now there are over 320 canning craft breweries. So you're talking in just the last 7 years, we've gone from 11 to over 320. That's a huge jump, and more each day. You know, I would argue if you look at some of the craft breweries back home or any that you stop and see along the way home, they will, if their first package of choice will likely be a can.
Yeah.
There are 18 breweries in planning in the state of Hawaii right now, and and there are eight that I think will open in the next year, and all of them that I've talked to are not planning on bottling, but planning on canning.
Interesting.
So that's huge, you know.
So it's not, you know, what you're saying on your cans is a micro-canning revolution is very true.
The revolution is certainly upon us. It's like you said, they're lighter, they take better care of the beer. You know, recycling-wise, it's the most recycled material in the world. I think the statistics are something like by the time the can, I think you buy it and you recycle it, and 3 weeks later, it's a new can on the shelf somewhere else, and it's infinitely recyclable, whereas glass has a finite life on it. And you know, even if you could get reusable glass these days, it would be very difficult and very expensive to have those glass bottles washed, sanitized, even shipped back to you to be able to reuse.
And I'm assuming it would be even more expensive and more, say, carbon expending to ship to the mainland.
Exactly. Much more. It's a great point. We can put, if we were doing bottles, we'd be between 1,300 and 1,400 cases per container. It's a 40-foot refrigerated container. We ship everything refrigerated.
Right.
But in cans, we can get 2,000 cases in there.
Yeah.
So you're looking at a pretty significant increase in volume. So your per case shipping is much lower, and so your carbon footprint, therefore, is much lower as well. Thank you so much.
Mahalo.
Mahalo.
All right. Cheers.
Aloha.
Cheers. Aloha. The craft beverage morph, if you will, for our company is going from just a craft brewery, which is obviously, like I said, always going to be at our heart, at our core. It's allowed us to become who we are. But we're starting to do things like our Island Root Beer and a few other sodas that we've brewed on draft. The cans of Island Root Beer are actually available now as well. And that's a natural root beer made with Big Island vanilla extract, local cane sugar, local honey, et cetera, et cetera.
Nice.
And so we want to play with more of the agriculture that we can buy on island. So malted barley and hops obviously doesn't come from Hawaii. Just like I said, it has to be imported. But pineapple for the mono wheat, you know, coconut when possible from this region. You know, the guava, the mango, even we've brewed with onions.
I mean, I read about the Maui onion.
It was a great beer. You know, we use local agriculture to influence the style, to take traditional styles of beer and make them our own. But now we can take those same ingredients and make really cool craft sodas with them. And we're also going to be installing a distillery next year that we'll probably end up doing an Indiegogo campaign to really bring a lot of the attention to it in order to start distilling some spirits here locally as well. So,
which I think might be a little bit of a next trend. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah,
but the next trend is maybe, you know, a lot about craft beers, but not so much about craft distilleries
or
hard liquors.
We're seeing more of them, but you're right. Yeah. It is, it's something that's starting to take hold where because a craft brewery already has the infrastructure necessary to produce spirits in large part, you know, a boiler, you know, a brew house, essentially, a lot of the fermentation vessels. We really just have to add a few pieces of equipment to the end of the line, if you will, in order to then make these other types of beverages. So to make whether it be sodas and spirits and maybe even canning craft cocktails, you know, something that we can do, which will allow us to grow beyond that mark where it becomes economically diminishing marginal return hits, the line of diminishing marginal returns, and it doesn't make sense for us to brew here any longer, more volume. We still won't start brewing in the mainland because our mandate will keep us from that. We want to keep it local.
Right.
So then instead we've said, well, after, you know, during when we're growing to that point with beer, we start branching out into other diversified products that carry along the same ethos, being the soda and cocktails and spirits. And we can continue to grow to satisfy our financial needs and our obligations, but at the same time not departing from our values. And I think that's what's really important to consider. Yeah.
Well, and on that note, I want to mention that from the both vegetarian, vegan, and gluten-sensitive perspectives,
you've got it all.
You've got it all. And looking at your menu, at least in Lahaina, and you'll probably be bringing it here, and I believe you might even be expanding on it to more of a gluten-free, with that aspects of the kitchen being more gluten-free, at least segregated component.
Exactly.
I mean, that's so great that you're catering to those dietary needs. I could tell you that I've kind of experimented myself with all of those, so I understand what it's like to show up at a place. And then from the beverage point of view, you mentioned the root beer. I also read, I don't know where it is at right now, but I read that you've done some meads and some ciders that are also
more components that will be coming in that craft beverage kind of evolution, if you will.
Yeah.
So I've done a few ciders. I actually have an apple cider on tap at home that I did. It's almost gone. I actually made it last year. And it tasted good around Christmas last year, but it's
nice.
And I think those, when they age especially, get better. But those are things that we like to do, and things that with the plethora of tropical, high sugar content fruits that we have out here, we can make some pretty cool meads and ciders. They might not be traditional, you know, but what part of us has ever been traditional? You know, it's been taking traditional things like robust porter and making something like coconut porter from it.
Right.
And that's where we really excel is taking tradition, standing it on its head, and doing something our way.
Right.
And I think that's the fun thing is our entire team has fun when they come to work at the end of the day.
Oh, that's excellent.
And that's a cool thing.
So. I have one final question.
Sure.
And that is, you're from San Diego.
Yeah.
As far as I understand, at least you went to school there. And
born and raised.
Born and raised. And I visited there last year for the first time for about a week and just loved it. Mm-hmm. Just loved it. It was during Craft Beer Festival, San Diego Craft Beer Week.
Yeah.
Beer Week? Is that what it's called? Yeah. Enjoyed it. Just loved it.
Yeah.
And so my question is, for fun, I believe between San Diego and Portland, there's a little bit of a competition of what's really known as the craft beer capital of the United States. Do you want to weigh in on that one?
You know, that's a hard one because I go to Portland occasionally and they make some fantastic beers up there. I mean, you know, but I have to say San Diego with at last count that I read was something like 93 breweries in the county. And I think that was as of January 1. So, you know, here we are almost a year later. I'm sure it's past 100 by now. But, you know, I'd have to say San Diego's doing some really cool stuff. I gotta send it to my home base. It's one of the coolest places because, you know, as much as I love the fact that Portland is definitely weirder than San Diego, and I know that they would love to get that title over even best craft beer. But honestly, I don't think the world would be the same place without either one of them.
Yeah, very well said.
They're just so different.
I've been to both. I mean, totally enjoy them.
An IPA in San Diego, totally different than an IPA in Portland.
Yeah.
And I love that. And that right there shows you exactly why I started this company. I came here, I had beer I thought was local, it wasn't from here, so we wanted to create something that defined what Hawaiian craft beer was. And I think that's what we've done.
And on that note, I want to mention, I don't know if you have a go-to website, your Twitter, your Instagram, or your Facebook. Yeah. You're on all those, but is there one that you're promoting more these days, or just whatever floats your boat?
Whatever floats your boat, but everything is tied through Maui Brewing Company, like Maui Brewing Co.
Yeah.
So Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram are all at Maui Brewing Co. And our website, of course, is www.mauibrewingco or mauibrewing.com.
I think your San Diego ethics have spread very well to Hawaii, and I appreciate what you've done in all these levels we talked about ethically, you know, like whether it's the environment, the community level, and just from the quality of the beer. I've enjoyed it so much, the taste out here, and I can't
I'll just say it. I just can't be bothered to buy any other brew when I'm out here. Because, I mean, one, I can't get it in Canada. But two, it's the most sustainable brew.
Not yet.
It's very, very true. Yeah. But it's just the most sustainable brew I could have out here. And fresh.
Yeah.
And fresh. Local
Absolutely.
Ingredients. So why not?
Well, and you have a lot of variety here, too. That we even when we do ship, we ship our four flagship brands, Mono Wheat, the Bikini Blonde, Big Swallow, and Coconut Porter.
Right.
And then usually a limited release like the Lorenzini coming up.
Yeah.
But last year, we brewed about 60 different styles of beer here. So... you have a lot of opportunity to try beers like this, like the Kihei Kolsch, like the Haleakala Sunrise, that you wouldn't get unless you get to come to Maui. And that's why we reserve a lot of those for home. So
great. And such a good reason to come here, because this Kihei Kolsch is amazing. It's the best Kolsch I've had.
Yeah.
Some Kolsch can be a little bit too light, a little bit too watery.
Yeah.
This one, it's got a little hop kick to it.
We've got heavy hands when it comes to hops sometimes.
Okay. You know, but I like it in this regard.
It's fun because I was in Köln last year drinking Kolsch at the source. And we're going to be doing a different service on the Kihei Kolsch soon. We're on, I think it's Saturdays, we're going to do the Kihei Kolsch Saturday.
Nice.
And so when you're sitting in the garden, it will serve it the traditional way, which will be in the 7-ounce Kolsch glass. And it'll be the mark on the coaster. And we just keep bringing you a glass. There's no IPA on the garden. It's Kolsch in the garden. And that'll be a cool way to bring a little bit of German beer history to Maui and do it in the traditional way. So that's a fun beer.
Great idea. And it's a refreshing one for the beach and the sun. So on that note,
well, thank you.
Cheers. We do three cheers on our going out here.
Yeah? Okay.
Two.
And three.
Three. Aloha.
Aloha.
Mahalo.
And Kole Maluna. Bottoms up. All right.